can I do? I'm mad and I'm not happy that Charlie Kirk was murdered today. And I'm not happy with what happened to my kids. And I'm not happy, but I can tell you there is victory today. There truly is victory today. I'll tell you one of the greatest victories ever is that probably just a few minutes right after he got shot in the throat for daring to get up and tell the truth, he saw Jesus. He literally saw Jesus today.
You know, his birthday is, he was going to be 32 here in October. I was looking at this date and I saw the dash, and I was on the phone with Ryan. I was like, that dude did more with that dash in 31 years than most people would do in 100. And it brought me back to the reality of this dash I have. I have this little moment of time in my existence. It could be gone really quickly. And all I have is that little dash. And what kind of impact can I make? And I'm telling you, it starts in the secret place.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of The Pulse. I'm Shay Wilbur. Pastor Troy obviously normally sits in this seat. He's actually up in a bear stand somewhere in Canada right now, hopefully getting his bear. He's on the bear hunt. We've been talking about that for the past few months, and that is where he is with some of his friends and some people who have signed up for that bear hunt. And that's something that we do every year, actually as a fundraiser. Sign up for the bear hunt, help rescue a kid. So if you see that next year, if that sounds interesting to you, make sure you check it out and you're on the next one. You just heard a few really powerful words from Pastor Troy from this past Sunday service. You know, this has been a really heavy week for all of us. Everything with Charlie Kirk's assassination. If you watched The Pulse last week, we were actually live behind the veil when it happened. And when we started getting the notes, then the notifications that he had been shot, we immediately went to prayer because we had our own Pastor John Arroyo with us, who is a former Green Beret who had himself been shot in the throat. So at that time, you know, we were fully believing and expecting a miracle. And unfortunately, as you know, that didn't happen. And Charlie Kirk went home to be with Jesus, and things have shifted. The atmosphere has changed, but I believe God is now speaking in the midst of all this shaking. A lot of things are rising to the top, and we hear and we've started to see revival breaking out. And so God's doing some really incredible things in the midst of this tragedy. And today, I thought it would be the perfect time for us to have on two incredibly prophetic voices that are also friends of this house. So joining me in a moment, I'm so excited that you guys are here, that you're tuning in right now for the show. We're going to have Pastor Darren Stott from Eden Church. He's going to be joining us. And then Brian Bolt's going to be joining us after that. Both incredibly prophetic voices of this house. And I want to know what the Lord has been speaking to them in this time, through this time, and when they see the events that are happening and unfolding in the headlines right now, what is the Lord saying? Before we get to that conversation, though, let me welcome our crew in studio, our all-stars that we have in here. Chris and Rebecca, how are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing good.
How are you, Rebecca?
I'm doing great. We had a great weekend, and like you said, we could feel something has shifted. Something has been shifting, but you could really feel it. And it is a good day to be alive, like Pastor Troy says.
Yeah.
To see what God's going to do in the midst of all this. Mm-hmm. And Sunday was honestly, seeing the church, people standing up, you know, both services, we had overflow. It is amazing to see how people were saying we haven't been to church in this amount of years. And they were felt by their spirit to go to church. And we saw it this Sunday. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've heard from pastors from all over the country who said they set records in first-time guests being there on Sunday. And then you saw the revivals that are happening in the UK. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're talking about Charlie Kirk and mourning and kind of the shock that we're all in and trying to process this. Yeah. But God is still moving. God is still working through every situation. And I think Sunday was just a celebration of Charlie's life and also what God is doing in his church right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I honestly was just very proud of our leadership. I'm so happy and thankful to be here, to be a part of this church body right now in this time, because I can't imagine going to a church that didn't say anything about it. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, some people just aren't because of whatever reason. But I mean, we literally, everything happened on a Wednesday. That Wednesday night service, I mean, Pastor Troy started out the service. I mean, we kind of threw out our service format, and he just felt like, hey, we got to talk about this as a family. We got to get together and we got to just hash it out, see how we're like process it together. It's like these type of things, when stuff like this happens, it's just really affects a lot of us. And we're going to talk a little bit later on the show why it has affected so many people in such great ways, but I feel like, I mean, for me, this is the JFK moment for our generation. Mm. I feel like that. Obviously, he wasn't a president. I think he could have well been on his way to be a president.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's still so tragic. It doesn't feel real. But I know God is doing incredible things, and God's using this for his glory. Obviously, that's a hard thing to comprehend in the moment. It's like, you don't want to hear that because it's like you're just mourning the tragedy.
Correct.
But man, the revival that I feel like is starting, that we've seen start, and we're really seeing how many people have been activated and are being activated to use their voice in this time. And it's really this young generation, this younger generation, which is really inspiring.
Yeah, I do feel there's been an awakening, and we've been hearing multiple prophetic words different, but you could feel the shift. We've been feeling the shift. And just to see, we had Gabe, you know, here, and just seeing how young he is and how God is using him, and what God's going to use our children, our next generation. It just, honestly, it stirs up more boldness for us and be courageous, so we could be able to transfer it, or for our kids and your son. He's a teenager. I don't know. What have you been feeling in your spirit? I don't know.
I do think, like Shay said, it is that JFK 9/11 moment.
Yeah.
It was the first time my son's ever seen somebody shot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of odd as a parent, because like you try to protect your kids from so many things, but then sometimes you want them to see these things because there is real evil in the world.
Yeah.
And I honestly, it's not like we sat down like, hey, we're going to show you something. He had already seen it. And Gina picked him up from school, and he was like, yeah, I saw the video, and it's awful.
Yeah.
And he was really upset by it.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things, like, you know, as leaders of especially for American church pastors and leaders, at the very least, getting out there and saying his name, mourning with the family, recognizing that there is civil unrest and godly civil unrest happening right now. And I wish more pastors would be a little bit more vocal and open on it.
I wish more pastors would be like this. This is my pastor on Sunday.
Well, there's a bunch of pansy pastors that are afraid. I want to just say, Charlie Kirk. Amen. We love you. We celebrate your life.
Yeah, as I said, that was my pastor on Sunday. I hope your pastor said something. You know, if not, you're welcome to come visit us at Open Door Church anytime, or tune in online, no matter where you are in the country. Honestly, we have more people that join us all across the globe than even in this house. So we truly have a global church, and we would love to have you join us, especially in this prophetic time, because you need someone who will speak to what's happening in the prophetic to be leading you. I mean, what's the point of going to church if our eyes are just closed and we go hear a feel-good message about how to be good people? Like, you can read a self-help book if you want to do that. I want to know what's going on. We're living in prophetic times. Things are unfolding before our eyes. I want to know, what do I do with this?
Amen.
What does this mean? Does God talk about this? Is it prophesied about in the Bible? And that's what you get when you come to Open Door Church. So if that's what you want, come join us. All right. Let's ask people to, let's just check in with all the people who have joined us, guys. Why don't you take this opportunity to like, share this, comment your location. We haven't done our shout outs yet. We'll do them in a minute. Let us know where you're watching from. We know that we have people all over the world, and we love to give shout outs to our international friends.
Yeah. So we got Lisk from South Africa. We have Pablo from Argentina. We have Rhonda from Joshua, Charles Jones. We have, of course, our ODX family, Sarah Spencer. We have Matthew. We have Chris Bazance also on here. We have
Chris.
KG. Please comment, share. Please write your location. We might be able to give you a shout out throughout the show. Don't forget, when you share, comment, and repost, this is how we are able to be media missionaries. And a lot of people are like, how can I join missions? What if I can't go to missions trips?
Yes.
I said this on Sunday. This is a way that you can be a media missionary, by sharing, commenting, and repost. And when you do that, there might be someone on the other side of that screen that needed to see that word, or needed to hear that quote, or needed to hear that verse, and you are making a difference. So yeah, I'm just excited everybody's tuning in right now.
Yeah, we want to say a big shout out to all of our new subscribers on ODX.
Yes.
We had 19 last week new Stage One partners.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Let's go.
We had 3 lifetime partners. So shout out to Matthew in Arizona, David in Texas,
wow,
and Anonymous. Oh, sorry, Anonymous.
Anonymous.
That was a joke. Sorry. It was a bad joke.
Do we get a sound effect for that one?
Like a,
whatever. Okay.
We also want to say we have one stage two partner, Omar in California. And then stage three, we had three. There it is. Susan from Arkansas, Kelly from Idaho, and Diane from Oklahoma.
Yeah. And if you're like, what is ODX? That is our video on demand platform. So when you join us on ODX.TV, you have access to our content. And depending on what stage, what type of membership you get, you have access to different things. And let me tell you, we have so much content, new content on ODX. Like, as we've been talking about, it's been a very heavy week. We've put out so much because God has really been speaking to our leadership here within this church. Pastor Troy did a special live stream called Breaking Evil. That is up on ODX right now. And you can check that out if you haven't. I really encourage you to go back and watch that. He also launched a new podcast called Altered State. And it's a podcast all on spiritual warfare, but this is not your typical spiritual warfare podcast, let me tell you. If you haven't checked it out, be sure to check that out. Plus all of Pastor Troy's other appearances, our services from over the past week. We had a great service, two services here on Sunday. We had a guest speaker in our first service and then Pastor Troy in our second service. And we've just got so much content on there. And if you join us as a stage three partner, you have access to all of our conferences that we live stream throughout the year. And speaking of conferences, New Beginnings Conference, guys, is around the corner. Can you believe it? That's
I can't believe it.
A few months away. That's actually Chris's like 1 year anniversary because you joined us right before New Beginnings last year.
It's coming up.
And it's called The Heart of David. You can actually get tickets for that right now on opendoorexperience.com/events. Tickets are going fast. Make sure you are here. That is where Pastor Troy really delivers the word for the year, whatever God has been speaking to his heart. It's always an incredibly prophetic time. And listen, if you can't be here in person, then you can also get tickets to watch online, to stream online, or you can just join us as a stage three partner and you'll have access to that and all of our other conferences. So please, if you're not a member at ODX.TV, go ahead, jump on over there and do that. Oh, and also, really quick, Pastor Troy is going to be speaking at two conferences coming up. The first one, Revival Nation 2025, that's happening in Charlotte, North Carolina, October 1st through the 4th. Todd Coconato, Joseph Z, Greg Locke, Pastor Troy, Alan DiDio, hello, like powerhouse crew. That's going to be incredible. And then just a couple weeks later, he's got another conference with Joseph Z and their crew called Voice of God Arizona. That's actually taking place at Dream City Church, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is Charlie Kirk's, the church that he went to regularly. And that's pretty prophetic that they are attending a Voice of God conference there at this time. Wow. That's definitely going to be a powerful, powerful time. And don't want to miss that. If you want more information on that, go to josephz.com. All right. So as I said, we've got some guests joining us, and I'm really excited to hear what the Lord has been speaking to Darren Stott and to Brian Bolt. Man, I can't wait to have them on. Then that'll be in just a couple moments. But before we get to that, I want to share with you some incredible updates that we have within this house. And if you follow us, if you follow Pastor Troy, you probably know that we rescue kids all across the globe. That is why we do what we do. That's why we do church. That's why we do media, to raise funds to rescue more kids. And over the past 30 years, they've rescued over 11,000 children and counting. That was last year's number, and I'm sure that's way up now. And not only do we rescue, but we raise them and partner with them for as long as they need. So last week we rescued, and we don't have the details yet on this, on this story, and we don't have any pictures, but we rescued a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old.
Wow.
And I'm told that they're all siblings.
Wow.
And so I'm anxious to hear more about their stories. And I don't know if they're actually in our homes yet, because what happens is when we rescue these kids from trafficking, they have to go through all the medical stuff. They have to go through, they have to get cleared with authorities. And, you know, we're not just rinky dink rescuing kids and putting them in a home. Like, we go through all, we work with the authorities. We work with a lot of the state prosecutors in the different nations. But man, when I heard that 5-year-old that we rescued out of this and they were all like horribly abused, and man, I just praise God for the work that we are able to do, that we're able to be the ones to say, yes, we're going to take in these kids and they're going to be our family, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it takes, I mean, the other great thing that we heard over the weekend too was Daniel. If you guys remember Daniel from
Belize.
He was born without a hip and was really kind of embarrassed about going to school because of his leg. Just last week, Troy was able to jump on FaceTime with him and Suwannamie, and it was pouring rain in the video that we saw. But his face, when we get, is it on social yet? We posted
not
it
yet?
No, but we actually have the video. We can show it in a sec. But what's so amazing about that is, you know, this kid, what he had said is like, listen, he didn't have a hip and he didn't have his leg. Mm-hmm. So they were having a hard time. They couldn't just get him a regular prosthetic. Mm-hmm. And he had no problem going to school, but he didn't want to go to school without a leg. He didn't mind like being even in a wheelchair, but he just wanted to have something so he could look like the other kids,
boys. Yeah.
You know, so at least he could have a leg. And apparently his house is right over the wall from the school. So he's always just hearing kids playing and is really sad, really, really hard for him. So do we have that video ready, Taylor? Okay, guys, check this out. This is when Pastor Troy told Daniel that we were going to get him a leg. Watch this.
Hey, Danny, do you remember me?
Yeah.
Yeah? I am Papa Troy. I have thought about you every day. I have not forgot you. And I have really good news. We found a hip replacement for you and a prosthetic leg. Today, your prayer is answered. It's happening today. I just now sent almost $7,000 so that you can have your brand new robot leg. Come on, brother, let's go.
Oh, his little face. I just love that pure, like, shock. Like, it took him a second to realize that, you know, that's what we were doing. Man, I can't wait to see the testimonies when he actually has this piece. And honestly, it was a huge answer to prayer because we didn't know some prosthetic legs cost, like, $40,000, $50,000, and we were able to get this for less. So that was also an answer to prayer for us that we were even able to do it.
Yeah, the first picture when we were in Belize and he took the picture out, we did the call to action and everything. And now to see how God provided and his face was the most Every time I see the video, it's like, I've never seen it.
I know.
You cry and you're just like, wow, God made a way.
Yeah. And God continues to do miraculous things. You know, it's always so surprising to me. It still is every day when I see what God is putting in front of us, like the opportunities that God has given this ministry and this house. And I really believe it's because of the faithfulness of Pastor Troy and Leanna over the past 30 years and their continued yes, even when it doesn't make sense. And we've recently had a situation with our rescue homes where we were needing to find a new facility in Mexico. And we need to be out of one facility and into a new facility. And it is so expensive. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're a global ministry, but we rely on partners. We rely on the support. And Pastor Troy says it all the time. Like, we're actually a paycheck to paycheck ministry. It's just a big number. It's a high number, but that's because we have over $4 million worth of projects on the table right now, all across the globe, that we actually have to fulfill in order to keep things going. And that's a lot of pressure on this house. And it's a lot of pressure, to be honest, on our leadership, on Pastor Troy and Leanna, and they handle it really, really well. And God always, he continues to provide, but it's because we have people partnering with us. And I just want to share one testimony with you guys, which is really totally a God thing. You know, Pastor Troy just got back from a trip to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And while he was on the trip, he was handed the keys to an incredible property in Mexico. And we actually have footage of this property. And it literally looks like a garden, like a lush, it reminds me of the Secret Garden. I mean, it's beautiful. It is, I don't even remember the dimensions, but it's like 3 or 4 times the size of anything else that we've had. It has enough space for us to build the first and the nicest boys' home in Mexico. Apparently, from what I've heard, it's the only boys' home in Mexico, which is crazy for a nation that has so much human trafficking, so much trafficking of children, that we're going to be able to have the first, most state-of-the-art home there. And so we were actually given the keys to that property and it was signed over to us for 20 years for free.
Absolutely.
Which is such, man, that is such a God thing. The caveat there, though, is that we need to raise, like now, like yesterday, $300,000 to build the facilities that need to be built and to put the money into what is there to kind of bring it up to code and to bring it up to standards and to get it ready for our girls, for our boys. And then there's like a common area. There's going to be like athletic areas and stuff where they can play outside. So friends, we are asking you to please consider partnering with us. We are on a time crunch with this. We literally, I think it's 6 months is what we have to raise the funds and to get this work done. And we have said yes, because we do. That's what we do. These kids need us. Pastor Troy always says it. If we don't show up, nobody else is coming. Mm-hmm. And I just want to urge you to get involved in the work that we're doing. Help us show up for these kids. Help us be a rescuer.
We'll be back in just a few more minutes with episode 74 of The Pulse and Pastor Darren Stott and Shay. I'm going to get his reaction on the Charlie Kirk effect, but I want to challenge you today to say yes. Pastor Troy and Leanna have said yes for more than 35 years rescuing kids. I want to challenge you to say yes, partner with us, as whether we're raising $300,000 to finish out this rescue home in Mexico or buying prosthetic limbs or supporting education or digging wells, you get into the fight and you're on the front lines with us. You can go to troybrewer.com. You can go to odx.tv, become a member there. Sign up at Troy or at troybrewer.com or odx.tv. You can give us a call, 877-413-0888. You can also give us, if you feel better, writing a check or, you know, writing us a letter. We're still believing God to send us gummy bears in the mail. at least one of us is. And you can do that. All you got to do is mail it to the address that is on your screen, P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. Now back to Shay.
All right, guys. Well, listen, we're going to be joined by Pastor Darren Stott in just a moment, but we're going to send it to a commercial real quick, and we'll be right back with you after this.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.
All right, friends, welcome back. Welcome back. Whenever I watch that commercial, it gives me like a renewed, like, I don't know what the word is, but like, yes. Like whatever that fire is, like this is why we do what we do. And it's such a crucial time to be a part of something that is actually saying yes to the call of the Lord and being the hands and feet of Jesus. And listen, if you're watching today and you need prayer for anything, we actually have a 24/7 prayer line available, and I want to encourage you to call that 877-413-0888. We have an incredible team of people that are trained. They're part of our house. It's literally on site here on our property. And if you want to know more about what we're doing in the world, if you want to know more about our rescues, if you want to know more about anything that we have or that we've talked about up to this point, you can call that number and ask our call team there. And they're ready and waiting to chat with you. So at this point, we're going to bring on one of our really good friends, Pastor Darren Stott of Eden Church in Newcastle, Washington. Pastor Darren, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Shay, good to see you. God bless you.
It's great to see you. It's always fun to have you on, and we're so glad that you could join us last minute like this. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Man, it's been a crazy week. And we've been talking about it here for the earlier part of this show. And I want to show a quick reel from Pastor Troy from this past Sunday. And then I want to kind of talk about it and dive into it with you. Are you good with that?
Great. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's take a look.
For all of us that love freedom, and for all of us that love Jesus, Charlie Kirk was a great champion for all of us. And literally opened the door for revivals in the schools that he went and spoke at. And you know, we have watched him and we've followed him and we've seen what God has done with him. We're like, wow, his voice is amazing. It's no coincidence that prophetically that he was shot in the throat. That's what the devil hates, is his voice. And if you're here tonight and if you're just like, I wish you wouldn't talk about political things, I wish you would just go away, is what I wish you'd do, and never come back. Listen, I'm not being political. They got theological, is what they did. And they're telling us who God is, and they're telling us a whole bunch of things. They're giving us a definition of marriage. They're telling us what we can do, what we can say, what we can't say. And then they present something that is so false, and they say, this is what you have to say.
Man, that was just a little snippet of what our church got on Sunday. And I feel like the righteous anger is what comes to mind. And that's what I was feeling in the moment. Pastor Darren, how are you feeling just when you look back on what's happened over the past 7 days that we've seen?
Yeah, we started getting text messages at the same time that everybody else did last Wednesday that Charlie had been shot in Pray. And I found myself immediately wanting to verify that. So I went right to X to see if it was true.
Yeah.
And the very first thing that came up was the video of Charlie being shot. And I wasn't prepared for that. So
yeah,
it had just kind of happened. And I watched that video, and I was immediately, like so many in our nation, including so many of our children that actually watched that video,
mm-hmm,
traumatized.
Yeah.
The first thought is, no, Charlie is not here. Charlie is in heaven. And yet we were told, pray. He's in critical condition, and pray.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I immediately went to my knees, and I think for about 90 minutes, just prayed and wept and asked the Lord to spare his life. And then everybody processes through this through grief differently. And some people, it's tears, and some people it's like, it's anger or rage. For me, I went kind of numb. I felt like my battery pack got removed. I felt like I didn't have the ability to really process or make decisions. And I stayed kind of in that place until that night when our city, like you guys, there was a vigil that churches hosted in our city. The Pursuit actually got the permits that night down in downtown Seattle. And so went down there and saw Pastor Russell and Lighty and all the guys there, and just worshiped, man, just worshiped the Lord and just sought the Lord. And something began to break for me, because there was just this, like this spirit of trauma that was, yeah, just released of our nation. And I could feel that. I had difficulty. It's funny. I told my team, I said, you know, if Pastor Troy was here right now, like he's such a stud in these environments. He would walk in the room with his cowboy hat and he'd say, all right, guys, we just need to cry out to Jesus. Like Troy is so amazing in that way. But for me, man, I just kind of like want to just disappear. You know, I just want to like, just not be around anybody. And so for me, it was like the discipline of community. It was like the discipline of not allowing myself, yeah, to get pulled into isolation, because that was like the vacuum in my soul was just to kind of disconnect from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those days following Wednesday, it was the discipline of intentionally connecting with kingdom people and processing. And as we would do that, the anointing would come and the prophetic would come. And it's funny, like, you know, a lot of people think that leaders just have courageous clarity all the time. I mean, for me, it's not like that. For me,
yeah,
I could feel like things are hazy and out of focus. And then the anointing comes and then you get all this clarity. And so that's been a bit of the journey for me just in the last few days.
Yeah. I think it's like the Holy Spirit helps you get through the, you know, because I think a lot of us felt the same. It's like the shock and the emotional devastation that will just leave you stagnant and just, what the heck, you know? And then that's when you press in and you seek the Lord. I feel like it turns to like almost a righteous indignation and then like an activation, which I feel like is what we're seeing in the country, is people just being moved to activate in every sense of the word with their faith, be bold. For me, I don't know. I think it's been very interesting because it's like these times where you see people's true colors and, you know, you really see who stands for what in these moments, right? Even when it comes to pastors, a lot of pastors have been silent. I mean, what are your thoughts on that when you see so many in the body that are choosing to not say a thing?
Yeah, we've got a ministry network that we inherited called Renaissance Coalition. So we've had a lot of interaction with a lot of our pastors And so one thing that people don't realize is that if you are a pastor, you have gone through your mental Rolodex thinking through disgruntled people that have left your congregation and have maybe the capacity.
Oh, we lost your audio for a sec. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, I can.
That's the enemy. I rebuke it in Jesus' name.
I'm really interested in what you were saying, though. You were saying the Rolodex.
If you're a pastor, you've gone through your mental Rolodex, thinking through disgruntled people that have left your church in the last couple of years that might have the capacity to come back and to do something violent against you.
Wow.
People don't recognize that. So everybody's online right now calling out pastors that are cowards. But if you don't have a church, then you don't have a right to call a pastor a coward. And because you don't know what pastors are going through.
That's
statistically good. 80% of pastors say that their families are unhealthy and they blame the ministry. Every month, 1,500 churches are shutting down in our nation because pastors are depressed. They are sick. They are not healthy. And so this idea of let's shame pastors into courage, it's not a good strategy. Because there are people that God has called. You know, for example, there's somebody online, a pastor that said, "I want you to put all the churches that mention the Charlie Kirk shooting in the comments below because those are good churches." But I know some good churches that didn't necessarily mention it, and yet the Mormon church in our town did a big honor thing for Charlie Kirk. So I want to bring some balance
to
that. You know, if you're a part of a church that's not addressing any cultural issues, no one's getting saved, there's no call to righteousness, then yeah, it's probably time to find a new church. You know, if you're a part of a church and your pastor is a man but dresses like a woman, it's probably time to find a new church, you know.
Yeah.
But otherwise we got to be kind of careful with our language. And if you're a part of a church, then you should be praying for your pastor because he is in a place right now. And you got Troy Brewer and you got Darren, you got us, and we're online. We're like, you know, let's wage war. Yeah. But the average size church in Seattle is 50 people. Wow. And the average pastor in Seattle feels like a failure.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that perspective. I feel like I needed to hear that, to be honest, because I'm one of the ones over here that's like, what? Your pastor didn't mention it. You know, I'm fired up. And I think it's really, and I'll just say like that, I feel like was for me, it's good to bring that perspective because we don't know what pastors are going through. And just even what you said about having that mental Rolodex, okay, who have I offended? Who could that, you know, looking at the people that maybe have left your church, there are lots of other reasons that people could maybe not be saying something. So I appreciate, I just appreciate that perspective. I think it's good. It's a good little check, you know, to have there. So why do you think, Pastor Darren, that it's felt so personal to so many people though? It's like the reaction, it's been unlike anything I've ever seen or experienced even myself. Like I didn't know Charlie personally. I was a huge fan. I watched like every single debate he did. I know a lot of people who are very close with him and who work with him, but it's still just for me and for so many people I know has been such a personal thing.
Yeah. So I met Charlie in 2023. He came into the green room. I introduced myself. He was like a bull ready to just break out of the cage.
Yeah.
I think that's just who he was. It wasn't that he had too many espresso shots. He was ready for battle.
Yeah.
I've never met a guy before that was so born for battle. In fact, he was so curious because he wanted to know who I was. And the way that he was going to find out who I was is he wanted to know the battles that I've fought, the battles that I've won, the battles that I've failed. It's like, for him, it was like, I'll know who you are when I know how you're built for battle and the battles that you fought. So what does that make it? It makes Charlie Kirk like the David in our generation. Wow. It was like when we went through 2020 and there was that spirit of intimidation that was silencing the church. And it was saying that you're a racist just if you're white. And and this whole thing where you had all these people that were just apologizing for being white, and the politicians didn't want to say anything, and the pastors didn't want to say anything. And then all of a sudden there was like this voice of one crying in the wilderness, you know. Mm-hmm. You're like, who is this guy? He's not a politician, he's not a pastor. And it was like this David. It was like this kid that came out of nowhere that was calling out the giant that was intimidating the church and the government. And so when all of a sudden you hear that David is dead, when all of a sudden you hear that, it's like what the early church would have felt like when they heard that John the Baptist was dead. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And so because of that, we all feel the blow of that. It feels personal. It doesn't feel believable. He was a voice for us. For many of us, for many people watching, it's like you don't have a voice. You don't go to City Hall. You don't have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Charlie was your voice. And so when they took out Charlie's voice, it was like you feel like your voice was taken out. And that's where that roar of revival and reform and that cry for righteousness, that's where people are like, okay, Charlie's voice can't be heard, but now I'm going to allow my voice to be heard. And people are going back to church. Just yesterday, I saw there was this OnlyFans porn star that all of a sudden realized that she needs Jesus again.
Wow.
And she went back to church and God called her into ministry. And so like, how could it be in 24 hours you have a porn star saying that they're going into the ministry? Like, what the heck, right? And I was hearing that story all day yesterday, that just from yesterday's services, these huge influencers are going to church with their cameras, and they're like, yep, I'm a Christian again. Not only that, I think I'm going to be a minister now. Like, okay.
Great, so, bring it on.
So God is on the move.
Amen. Hey, Pastor, how are you? Rebecca here.
Rebecca!
Miss you. Thank you for joining us last minute. It's always an honor to have you. So I have a question. What do you say to any Christian or any believer right now that is watching and is scared to stand? I mean, we shouldn't be scared as Christians, but what word would you give them as an encouragement?
Yeah, standing is going to look different for everybody. And so I love this statement, I am Charlie Kirk. People are using that. But you're not. You're not Charlie Kirk. And you're probably not going to sit behind a desk under a tent at your local university and debate transgenders. But God has made you you. And that's what made Charlie Charlie. Charlie was Charlie because he knew who he was in Christ, and he knew who he wasn't in Christ. So, no, you're not Charlie Kirk. God has created you to be fully you in him. And the way that you stand, the way that you stand is to be fully you. It's to embrace your righteousness in Christ Jesus. It's to actually embrace your job and not call it secular. It's to embrace your family. It's to embrace your children. It's to embrace your weirdo sense of humor. It's to embrace the fullness of your hobbies, to stop being ashamed of who you are, but to fully embrace it and to be fully you in Christ. That's how you stand. And for you, it's going to look radically different than it looks for me. And for me, it's going to look radically different than it looked like for Charlie. But as you can fully embrace who you are in Christ and stop comparing yourself to people like Charlie Kirk, or stop comparing yourself to Darren Stott or Troy Brewer or Brian Bolt, praise God. You know, I compare myself to Pastor Brian Bolt all the time. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm saved, right? Like, I don't even know if I'm going to heaven, right?
Oh,
so don't compare yourself to other people, okay? Embrace who you are in Christ, and that's how you take your stand.
Amen. Well, listen, if you need to hear a Brian Bolt word, just hang tight, because he'll be joining us and you can get saved in just a few minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Chris, I know you had something you want to ask.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, what you're seeing, what kind of questions you were faced with potentially on Sunday afternoon, that maybe a question or two that kind of took you by surprise.
Well, yeah, there's a whole bunch of lies that people are feeling right now within our country because of what's taking place right now. You know, one of them is, if this could happen to Charlie, could this happen to me? That's what most pastors, if they're honest, they've asked themselves that question. If this happened to Charlie, couldn't this happen to me? I don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's very common. That's one of the things I love about Pastor Troy. Troy always says, you know, that when the early church faced persecution, they didn't pray for safety, that safety is not the win. What did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. Right. So that's been Pastor Troy's message since COVID. And that's one of the big things. The other thing is that the enemy is winning, you know, that because they took out Charlie, like the enemy is winning. And listen, we know the end of the book. We know the end of the story. We win. Amen. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. So this looks like a victory for the enemy. But as a believer, you can't believe that the enemy is winning when you have the word of God. You see that on the cross, Christ disarmed every principality and power, when you see that you are seated with King Jesus in heavenly places, right? And then if you believe that the enemy is winning, then you're going to take on all these defeater beliefs that keep you from advancing. Mm-hmm. And listen, the enemy is not winning. Christ Jesus is completely victorious. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. So the expectation is not that you retreat. The expectation is that you advance.
And that is so good. So, so good, Pastor Darren. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us. And honestly, I feel like a lot of what you said I needed to hear, and I'm sure many other people feel the same way. And we just appreciate your voice. You know, you said, I love how you pointed out that standing is going to look different for every single person. And I just appreciate you for knowing who you are, who God has called you to be, and for speaking into us and being a part of our family over here. So we love you.
Oh, we love you too. And thanks for the honor of being a part. And God bless. If you like me, you're going to love Pastor Brian Bolt. Stick around.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Pastor Darren. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Bless you guys.
Man, I know that I definitely needed to hear that. That was awesome. I love how he said that when he met Charlie, Charlie wanted to know who he was in the battles he had fought. Like, that's such a wise thing to ask. You know, when you're sometimes I find a lot of times I'm in a room with people who I feel like are way smarter than me, way more anointed, like these big prophets, you know, when you hang around Troy and his friends, and it's like, sometimes in those moments, it's like, what do you say to some of these like heavy hitters of the faith? And it's cool. I love that approach. I think I'm going to like use that. Like, hey, what have you had to overcome and how did you do it?
That.
You know,
I thought it was a great perspective, because I'll be honest with you, just, I don't know if it's a place of repentance for me, but I've been a little critical on the response regarding Charlie.
Yeah.
I think some pastors have gone too far. I think some went too vanilla. Some have said nothing at all. And I've just been very judgmental just as a whole. And and I don't even have, as I was telling my wife last night, I was like, I don't even really know what I would have said if the mic was in my hand.
Yeah.
I just don't. And Pastor Darren brought a point that I never even thought about. Mm-hmm. Because as a pastor, you tick off so many people.
Yeah.
You make people mad on a regular basis just by breathing. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times pastors work from a spirit of fear when they leave their church, and they can have so much different things that might prevent them from like having a clear mind. I'll be honest with you, like as Pastor Darren's talking, like my head is still kind of spinning about the Charlie Kirk thing.
Yeah.
Like it was definitely evil. Yes. It's definitely sad. It's definitely an attack on the voice of what's happening in our country right now. However, like what about all the other things that are happening right now? Like the shooting in Colorado was glossed over. The revival in the UK was glossed over. And I can't help but wonder, like, how do I reconcile all these three major events? And I think Pastor Aaron really kind of helped all that.
Yeah,
he did such a good job. And guys, we're going to continue this conversation with another major prophetic voice that is taking time out of his schedule to join us. And I am so excited. Taylor, do we have him already? All right. Awesome. Let's bring in Pastor Brian Bolt. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. And I love you guys' podcast. I love Pastor Troy. And Pastor Darren brought the fire. It was great.
Yeah, he did. Loved it. Well, did you hear him? Hopefully he's still listening, because he said he needed to get saved. So he needed to hear you preach a little bit today. Well, we're so happy
I'm preaching at his church in October, but he's not going to be there. So I was a little disappointed. So I was hoping he'd come up for the altar call.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, we're glad that you agreed to join us, even though Pastor Troy isn't here. Mm-hmm. And we're so happy to hear and honestly anxious to hear what the Lord has been speaking to you throughout this time. Before we get into the conversation, though, I want to show a reel, and this is a snippet of Erica Kirk's speech from the other night. And then, Pastor Brian, I want to know your thoughts on it. So take a look at this.
They should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry. To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. All of us will refuse to let that happen. No one will ever forget my husband's name, and I will make sure of it.
Wow, so powerful. That was just one little snippet of, I think it was about 16 minutes, her speech. So Pastor Brian, what are your thoughts? I just want to open up the floor to whatever the Lord has put on your heart.
Yeah, you know, there was a powerful prophecy from Kim Clement years ago, probably about 12, 13 years ago, maybe longer, about a modern day Esther. And I'm paraphrasing a lot here, but that someone that went through a great tragedy would have this grace on them to essentially really lead and usher in a revival in the last days and be so powerful. And I think we literally saw it unfolding when she began to speak. It made me think of that. I know a lot of other strong prophetic voices just have been saying that. Mm-hmm. And there is a supernatural grace on her.
Yeah.
It is obvious, and there's a supernatural power that is on her. And so it's amazing when the early church, when they dealt with persecution, and in America, we never talked like that for a long time because we weren't a persecuted country. But more and more and more over the last 5 years, there's persecution that's coming against Christians. And the early church, when they were persecuted, there was a supernatural grace that was on them to do miracle signs and wonders. And there was just a supernatural grace to flow in the spirit. And so I think we're seeing it. I mean, what she went through and to have that supernatural grace, I think there's pockets of revival already happening in America. And I think there's something that's getting ready. I think the dam broke last week. And I think the Lord spoke to me. We're not going back to a lot of things, you know. Churches in America became just so lukewarm. Churches in America became so built around sacrifice-free Christianity.
Yeah.
Kirk's whole life was a life of sacrifice. And so, like, I think we're not going back. I think the days of just consumer, complacent Christianity, you come in, you sit in your pew, you do your little church routine, I believe those days are over. I believe this is a spark that is lighting a flame, and I believe Erica Kirk is she's at the tip of the spear.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I think the remnant is rising, and yeah, I think it has been for since COVID, and I think it will continue to rise. And I love what Pastor Darren said. I might be a little more the violent take it by force type. but you know, I think I'm leaning more where you guys are at, but I understand what he was saying. But I also think at the same time, I think there is a remnant rising that will not back down, that will, because it wasn't, you know, Charlie Kirk, you know, everybody says, you know, he's a political figure, all this. I understand what they're saying, but before any of that, he was an evangelist. He was a man of God. And the Bible reaches into politics. The Bible reaches into all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so first, he was a man of God evangelizing college campuses, evangelizing this country. And so he was an evangelist. And what I find that people don't get, it's not Democrat versus Republican. Mm-hmm. It's good versus evil. I mean, this was demonic what took place. It wasn't an accident. It was a demonic scheme to silence a voice. And it's interesting. I know Pastor Troy said, which I agree 100%. It's interesting. he got shot in the neck. Anytime I see someone that gets messed up in the neck or in the throat, it's just trying to silence the voice, to kill the voice, yeah. to destroy the voice. And it's interesting he got shot in the neck. I find that very interesting that the enemy has been trying to, you know, play games. But, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God always turns around for the good.
Yeah.
And so I really think something powerful is going to happen in this next season. And I'm excited. I really am. I think there's going to be a great wave of awakening, a great revival.
Yeah.
I believe. And I can't do complacent Christianity. I can't do it anymore. I can't do consumer Christianity. I've done all that stuff, you know, back in the day. That's what they taught us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people taught that you don't want to upset people. You don't want to offend people. You know, you want everyone to sing Kumbaya all day. Well, that is never going to happen. And so I'm going to stand up for the Bible, and I'm going to stand up for righteousness.
Amen.
And let the chips fall where they fall. But, you know, like, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to cower in the face of the enemy trying to scare Christians. And it was a tactic of the enemy. It was evil. It was demonic. And we have to call it out. And, you know, I know pastors have to deal with a lot of different things, but you got to speak up. It's evil. It's demonic. And it affected this nation and the world. And I've never seen, and you guys can tell me what you've seen, but I've never seen in my lifetime a White House put out a video that literally was the preaching of the gospel. They had the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in an honoring tribute video that the White House put together for Charlie Kirk. That literally the gospel was preached through that video that reached millions of people. And I've never seen a White House in my lifetime put out the preaching of the gospel in a video.
Oh, it's incredible. I really believe that turning point. You know, when Charlie, I don't know what, it was probably the Lord that gave Charlie that name for his organization, Turning Point. But I feel like this is truly a turning point in our nation. And God, you know, was the architect of all that. Charlie thought he knew, okay, turning point, because we're going to turn the nation. We're going to get the conservatives to rise up. But God's like, oh, no. This is way bigger than what you ever even imagined. And like you said, I mean, I've also seen, you know, what's gotten me, my spirit stirred too, is it seems like he had a very sweet relationship with Donald Trump, with our president. And in a way it seemed like it was just deeper than just an acquaintance. And Erica mentioned, you know, how much he loved the president. And then you see pictures of President Trump at, you know, when they were taking, I think it was the casket or something by, and I've never seen his face look like that. And I believe maybe God's going to use this to do a major work in his heart. And, you know, like you said, I couldn't believe when I saw J.D. Vance, you know, in that video that I think it was yesterday or the day before. God, I mean, we've just never seen anything like this. I mean, imagine, I honestly can't fathom if we had different leadership, if the election had swung the other way, this would be a totally different, this conversation would not be happening at all.
Oh, not at all. I mean, it would not be happening at all. And to see what the White House put out, I mean, I'm telling you, in my lifetime, I've never seen a video go out from the White House or the president that was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. I mean, it was, you know, Jesus died for your, I mean, it was death, burial, resurrection. I mean, it was the gospel message. And for that to go out, not just to this country, but to the world, the world is one, not just our country. I mean, I watched videos in Africa where different nations are honoring Charlie Kirk right now. I mean, it's amazing how they're honoring Charlie and what took place in his life. See, people love to follow people that sacrifice. People don't follow people that are complacent or don't give us a sacrifice-free Christianity. You cannot divorce sacrifice from Christianity. Christianity was born in sacrifice. I mean, all the apostles, I mean, died horrible deaths. 11 out of 12 of them died horrible deaths. And that's what's amazing, because, you know, if you put two drug addicts in a room, they'll turn on each other just to not get arrested. But people are sawed in half, being fed to lions, and they're standing their ground. I mean, how powerful. And so a sacrifice-free Christianity does not work. And so people want to follow people that are passionate, that stand up, that believe in what they say, that will give their life to something. And so, you know, we all got to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, and each one that looks different. And I totally agree with Pastor Darren, what he said with that. You know, my cross looks different than your cross. But the reality is that we can't divorce sacrifice. It is when the seed dies, that's when the harvest, anytime there's a sacrifice, that's when the harvest takes place. That's when there's a great harvest. When a seed dies in the ground, that's when we're going to see the most fruit. And so I think we're going to see a season of such unbelievable fruit. And we're already seeing it for the White House to put that out and for nations to recognize that. But I also think there is a demonic agenda. And I think it's going to keep persecuting. I think the church is going to, I think to have a great revival, there also will be a lot of more persecution in this country than we've ever seen. And we've been seeing it over the last 5 years. You can mention, here in California, you can mention Muhammad in a school. You can go into a school and you can put a kitty litter box down and kids can, you know, play in a kitty litter box. And you can, you know, if you're a boy, you're a girl. But you mention the name of Jesus, they'll lose their natural minds. But it's amazing. You can do all other sorts of stuff. It's like this, we've lost our minds as a society, where we can tell children, you can be a dog if you want to be a dog. You can be a cat if you want to be a cat. You can be a boy, even though you're a girl. But you mention the name of Jesus, people are like, oh, you can't do that. And it's this persecution that is coming across into Christians. Like, you can lose your job if you speak of Jesus.
Well, listen, I want to go, you said something that triggered my brain, and I want to unpack it a little bit more, but I want to do it behind the veil. You said demonic agenda, and that's something that immediately it like hooked my spirit, that there is something to that. There are forces at work here. Things are not just as they appear. And I want to unpack that a little bit more with you, Pastor, but I want to do that behind the veil. So do you have a couple more minutes, like 10 more minutes we can chat? Okay. Awesome. Well, listen, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, the stream is going to end here. We're about to jump behind the veil, which means behind our paywall on ODX.TV. If you're like, what is ODX.TV? It is our video on demand platform. It is where we can talk free of being censored, of being, I don't know, canceled. Not that we really care about that, because we probably would have been canceled already. But it is where we can talk about whatever we want. And we're going to do that now, because I believe that the Lord has a very now word. And I'm excited that we're going to be chatting with Pastor Brian Bolt about the demonic agenda that we see at work in the headlines right now. So please join us on ODX.TV. Become a member if you are not already. If you are watching us on YouTube, guys, we will be right back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central Time for another episode of The Pulse. Until then, we will see you later. And if you're heading on over to ODX.TV, guys, we'll see you in just a minute.